Ahoy, and welcome to the Jolly Reader. I'm your host, Captain Book. We are finishing up. This is the last section, section 3 of This Is Why We Lie by Gabriella Lepore. Okay, like I said in the past two episodes, there's no chapter numbers, so I just labeled the chapters as I went. So we're doing pages 204 to 312 and chapters 37 through 59. So, spoiler alert, we're going to do a recap, a part 2. Well, it's kind of a recap of both parts. So go back and listen if you're not to that yet. But we found out that Tommy is selling drugs and got dragged out of the closet against his will because Adam and Max found him making out with a guy in the woods by the cabin. Max is acting sketchy because he cheated on Serena, and Colleen was going out to tell Serena about it the night she died. And Serena's just in denial in general about all of Max's problems and his cheating and everything. Holly, who is Jenna's best friend, she is probably getting arrested for a hot minute at least during this. That's my prediction, because the police want to interview her and they have like new evidence and stuff. And then we ended the last section with there's another incident at the harbor. And we know it's a dead body because of whatever the cop number that Jenna's aunt called out. It's a whatever, whatever. I can't quite remember, if I'm being honest. So anywho, things to look forward to. Okay, a main character is dead, and we're finding out about it like ASAP. We meet Adam's dad, Scotch, that kid that freaked out in the classroom and like ran outside. He comes back around, so I'm glad I mentioned his name last episode because I seriously almost didn't. And then we obviously solve the whole case in typical dramatic fashion, so we'll get there. So first, we're going to start with Adam, chapter 37. Okay, Adam starts by telling us that he's not a violent person because we ended the chapter, or like the section, with Colleen accusing him of doing something to his mom that was violent. We unravel that here shortly. And he does say that people think he's dangerous, and that's why his dad sent him to Rookwood, and that Rookwood, they think, is like, people assume that he did something, he killed his mom, essentially, and that Rookwood is his, like, his get-out-of-jail-free card, like, to let him off of murder. And he's very adamant that he didn't do anything, or at least he doesn't think he did anything anyway, is what he tells us. So Adam's in his dorm room, and he tells us that Tommy didn't come back last night. So this is right after Max and Adam caught him in the woods with another guy. And Adam calls Tommy, like, a dozen times, but it goes to his voicemail, so obviously we're stressed that maybe... We know, as the reader, we're stressed that Tommy might be the dead body, the incident or whatever, because Adam can't get a hold of him. But Adam doesn't know there's even an incident at this point. He's just worried about his friend. So Adam gets a text from Jenna, and she's like, are you okay? And he's like, yes. And then he's like, did you talk to Serena? And Jenna says, yes, I talked to her. She's fine. So are Brianna and Imogen. And Adam's like, you, like, basically in his head, he's like, you talked to Serena about Max cheating on her with Colleen. And, like, everyone's just chill with it. But we know that Jenna's talking about the incident at the harbor. Like, she's like, are you okay? Did you die? And she's saying, none of these people died. So we're basically left with Tommy and Max. And Scotch. It's not Scotch. So anyway... Adam says that he should talk, like, they should talk, him and Jenna should talk in person at the beach in 15 minutes, and he starts walking down to the beach. Jenna, chapter 38, Adam's already at the beach when she gets there, and then she realized that he doesn't know what she knows about the incident at the harbor or whatever. So she's like, oh, what do you need to talk about, basically? And Adam just tells Jenna that they're on the same side of all this, and... they both want to know what happened to Colleen, so they should work together, basically. Like, they're not enemies. And Jenna asks him if he knows what's been going on at the harbor this morning. He says no. And she says, well, I assume that's why you wanted to talk, that another body's been found. So then she's like, I texted you because I was worried it might be. And then she just trails off. But obviously she wants to say, I was worried that you were dead. So Adam runs down to the harbor. I don't know how far this beach is from the harbor, but he's running there. And he's calling Tommy's phone again, but it's still going to voicemail. And he's muttering to Jenna. He's like, it's Tommy. It's Tommy. It's got to be Tommy. So she's trying to comfort him. And she's like, you don't know it's him. And they get down to where the police are. And there's like forensics teams there and stuff. And then Kate's like a little farther down talking to other officers. And there's a car attached to a tow truck that's been pulled out of the water. And Jenna's like, whose car is that? And Adam says, that's my car. The one he would hide in the woods and we go places. So then we get a backflash, and Jenna talks about the time when she first saw Adam's car, but she obviously didn't know it was his, pull up by the pier, and she's in Serena's car with Holly. So this is back when they were like the three amigos or whatever. And three boys walk into a store. Obviously, it's Tommy, Adam, and Max, but they don't know that yet. And Jenna tells us that she recognizes Adam as the boy she saw wading in the water at the beginning, like the first chapter, not the first chapter, but like her first backflash. She talks about him wading in the water, blah, blah, blah. But she doesn't tell the other girls that. So this is like pre Colleen dying. And Serena and Holly are like, oh, they're so cute. We need to like go talk to them. They're rooks or whatever. And like, long story short, Serena runs up to them as they're walking back to their car. Like, she's like, are you guys going to party tonight? And the blonde boy, who we know is Max, is like, we could be. And we find out that he gives Serena his number. So that's how Max and Serena first meet. And Max asks Adam if he can drive, and Adam's in the passenger seat, and they leave. Adam, chapter 39. Adam's just saying, that's my car, over and over again while he's trying to figure out what's going on. And he tells us that the police are crouching over a heap of blankets, but it's not blankets, it's a person. Dun dun dun. Which we already know, obviously. The officer from Rook, like Hank, the one that's like supposed to stop them from sneaking out, that sucks, and the principal are there. And then Adam runs forward and he's like yelling at the police officers, and he's like, it's Tommy, is it Tommy, like I need to know. And an officer grabs him and like holds him back, and he asks again, he's like, is it Tommy? So the principal rushes over and tries to calm Adam down, and she's like, it's not Tommy, it's not Tommy, it's Max. Gasp. Max is dead, bro. Did not see that one coming. I mean, it could have been anyone. I honestly assumed it was going to be one of the girls. Like, I thought it was going to be Serena or Imogen. Wrongo. Then we get an interview with Adam conducted by Detective Felton. So that's Kate's partner, at 11:20 a.m. on Saturday, October 13th. Drew asks who had access to Adam's car. And he's like, well, anyone, any of the boys could. But I thought at the time Max might have taken my keys. He asks Adam why he thinks that Max took his keys. And Adam says because he was looking for his keys and couldn't find them, obviously. And he says that Max must have taken them, but I never thought he would do this. I never thought he'd kill himself. So Drew says, well, I don't know why we're on a first name basis with this officer, but here we are. Drew says, let's circle back. Why do you think he took your keys? And Adam says, I thought he was going after a girl, but I didn't know what he wanted to talk to her about. Obviously, we're talking about Max going to talk to Jenna because they had that fight. And he was like, Jenna knows, blah, blah, blah. Then Drew asks Adam, he's like, last night, where were you? And he's like, I was at Rookwood mostly. And he's like, what do you mean mostly? And he's like, well, we also went to the vigil for Colleen at the pier, and that Max was with him. And then Adam also says that the last time he saw Max was in the early hours, but he doesn't remember what time, and it was at Rookwood. And Officer Drew asks if Adam was drinking, and Adam says no. I'm not really sure if that's true or not. I can't quite remember. Then he asks what the last conversation Adam and Max had. And then we would assume that Adam's like having a breakdown at this point, because then Drew's like, okay, let's take a break. We'll come back to this again. And the interview is terminated like at 11:32, which is like, you know, 12 minutes later or whatever. So then we have the girl text group. So I'll just recap real quick since we're in a new episode. Brianna, Imogen, Serena, and Jenna. I don't know if Holly removed herself, and at one point Colleen was in it. So that's a girly group chat. So Imogen says that she's on her way over to Serena's house to check on her, and Serena just says, please don't come over. I want to be alone. We get more in the group chat. That's why I just want to tell you who was in it. Jenna, chapter 40. So Jenna gets a private message like on the side, like we all girls have with their like the one friend they got to check in with. Like, are you going to this party? Because I'm not going if you don't go. That kind of thing. So Serena text Jenna privately, and Jenna, she wants Jenna to come over to her house. So Jenna goes over to her house, and she's met with Serena's mom at the door, and Jenna goes in the house and says, like, Serena's mom's always been kind of absent, like, she knows the maid better than she knows Serena's mom, and even Serena's mom doesn't even fully recognize Jenna, even though they were friends. But Serena's mom talks about how Max had a lot of potential, and she had reservations about him at first, but he surprised her and presented very well and was like a big hit at the country club. And then Jenna obviously knows he's good at lying and like putting on a face. So she just kind of takes this with a grain of salt. And then she goes up to Serena's bedroom and they're talking. And Serena's obviously super upset because her boyfriend died. He's her everything. Blah, blah, blah. Like, we know. Not to be insensitive, but one, it's a book. And two, like, let's just solve this. Like, spoiler alert, Serena didn't kill Max. I don't know if I should leave that in, but like, really, it's kind of obvious. I'll think about it. Okay, so the really important information that Serena tells us, you know what, I'm going to leave it in because this part basically says that Serena didn't do it. The really important information that Serena tells us was Max was in the passenger seat. He was not driving Adam's car. Why would she reveal this information if she was the driver? Like, hello. So anyway, Jenna asks why he didn't get out of the car when it went off the jetty, which I don't really know what that is. Sorry, coastal people. I live in the Midwest. But anyway, like, why wouldn't he get out of the car if it's going into the water? And Serena says they won't know until they get the toxicology report back, but the police thinks he was incapacitated. And then Jenna was like, was he doing drugs? And then Serena gets really upset and she's like, no, he would drink, but he would never lose control. And he even got mad at Serena once for smoking pot. Like, he was really against drugs. Also, they say this a couple times that he would drink, but he always stayed in control. I don't believe that. Like, story purposes, okay, but they're teenagers. They drink a lot. I don't believe that they stayed in control or whatever. But also, I've been sober for 2 years, so maybe I'm just the one that couldn't stay in control. I don't know, but it's just hard to believe. But for plot purposes, like, yes, he was in control. Who cares? So Jenna's asking Serena, are you basically accusing someone of spiking his drink? Then Serena says that she was with him until midnight, and then he was fine, and he was going to go to bed. And a few hours later, he was in the ocean. So, like, riddle me that. And Jenna thinks, who would do this? Like, who would be mad enough at Max to do this? And the only person that comes to mind is Colleen. But, like, obviously, Colleen's dead. And Max was her friend. And there's a chance that Max was the one who killed her. And now Max is dead. So it's looking like someone killed him. So we're just trying to figure out if, like, in theory, if Max killed Colleen, maybe someone's mad at Max and killed him, I guess. I don't know. Well, obviously, we figure it all out. Backflash. So they're in the locker room again, and Colleen's asking who's going to drive her to the Rook party tonight. And Serena's, like, annoyed and, like, rolling her eyes and stuff. And it's like, you weren't even invited. Why can't you drive yourself? And throughout this whole backflash, Jenna's just kind of sitting off to the side and observing this. But then Colleen says she's going to get super wasted and doesn't want to get a DUI. I mean, smart, I guess. And then Imogen volunteers to drive her. And Colleen mentions that the Rooks are getting some quality product tonight. And ask if they're buying anything. So we would assume that whatever drugs Tommy is selling is what Colleen is talking about, because she knew his quote-unquote secret about the drugs. And Brianna says, you shouldn't be buying. You don't even know where it's coming from. Like, this is unsafe. And then Colleen's like, you should loosen up. Okay, Mom, like, you're lost. And Serena says, it makes you look trashy and desperate, like you're all over the guys when you're wasted. And Colleen says, like, oh, I'm just having fun. I'm not interested in your boyfriend. If that's what you're getting at, I don't do leftovers. Which, savage. So then Serena says, well, he's not interested in you at all either. He's not even your friend. And Colleen's just like, whatever, jealous. And then she looks at Imogen. She's like, pick me up at 8, and then walks out. Serena's just, like, annoyed or whatever. But when she notices Jenna, she just, like, looks over and forces a smile. Adam, 41. He's pacing around the forest, like, outside the cabin. And he can't get over that Max is dead. And he feels like it's his fault. And he still thinks that Max killed himself. And it was, like, his car. So I think that's why he blames himself. And he's the one that told Max, like, someone's going to tell Serena you were cheating. And he also feels like this was, like, Max's way of sending Adam one more, like, F you message, like, I took your car. And Adam feels like this is what happens when people get closer to him. Sooner or later, they're going to wind up dead. So he's referring to his mom. Text between Jenna and Adam. So Jenna basically begs him to meet up, and then Adam says he'll be there. Like, I know it's super short, but, like, I got to add it, like, why they're meeting up. Jenna, chapter 42. They meet at the beach, as always, and Adam's super depressed, and he's like, you shouldn't be around me, I'm no good for you. And Jenna's basically like, shut up, I need to tell you this. I was at Serena's, I never told her that Max was cheating on her, but she told me Max wasn't driving your car, he was in the passenger seat. And Adam's like, no, he was in the driver's seat, he killed himself. I don't know why Adam's so, like, adamant that Max killed himself. Adamant, pun intended, but anyway. Jenna's like, no, Max did not do this. And then Jenna assures him that she doesn't think Serena was the one driving because of the security system in her house has timestamps of when she was, like, in and out, and it all matches up to what she said. Serena went home at midnight and then didn't leave until after the body was found, which that's all true. That's not just, like, something to throw us off. So then Adam tells her that the cops are questioning him again and didn't tell him about the driver's seat thing, but they must have thought he was the one driving. And Jenna tries to comfort him and asks if he has an alibi because he was at the cabin and then in the dorm. And he admits that he wasn't at Rookwood the whole time because he went over to her house, Jenna's house, to check on her because of the fight he had with Max, which we remember Max was like, ooh, I got to keep an eye out for her. Maybe I'll just check on her or whatever. So Jenna's like, how do you know where I live? And then Adam's like, you told me in our first conversation. I don't know if you remember, but obviously she does. And he said he didn't want to take any chances, but he feels like he followed the wrong person. He should have been watching out for Max. He should have followed him and not shown up at Jenna's house. And he's upset because he didn't have a chance to make things right with Max before he died. And then they apologize to each other. And then Adam says, "From the moment I met you, I knew I needed to know you, your perspective, your intuition. You made me feel like I'm more than what I am." And then Jenna leans in to kiss him and they start making out. And then darkness covers them. So take that for what it is. But like, ooh, they're doing the thing. Finally, it only took us 42 chapters. Adam, 43. So Adam gets back to his room and Tommy's there sleeping. And Adam wakes him up and is like, "Why didn't you answer my calls? I was freaking out." And Tommy lies and says his phone was dead. But like Adam tells us that's not true. I'm assuming it was ringing before it was going to voicemail. Tommy's like, "What is your problem? I'm trying to sleep." And then Adam just like unloads and is like, "Max was in the passenger seat. Someone drove my car off the jetty. He's dead." And Tommy is like, "What do you mean Max is dead? Like, this is news to him." And then Adam just says, "Were you driving?" And Tommy's like, "What are you talking about? No, you're losing it. Like, I did not do this." And then Adam's like, "Well, you were MIA all weekend," which I don't know how he was able to do that, because I would assume they have like room checks and stuff. But anyway, then Adam's like, "Sorry, I really don't think you did this. I'm just freaking out." Then Adam asks Tommy, he's like, "Were you not answering your calls because I saw you with that guy?" And Adam just tells him, like, "I won't judge you. I won't treat you any different." And Tommy tells him he wonders if Adam knew before that he was gay. And then Adam's like, "Yes." And they kind of just work through all that. Acceptance, it's great. And then Tommy asks this, "Is Max really dead?" And Adam says, "Yes." And they both talk about how they're worried about their futures after Rookwood. And Adam says, like, they'll figure it out. Tommy doesn't have to keep selling drugs because his dad's making him. You don't have to screw up your whole life. And then Adam says he's not even going back home after he graduates. And then Tommy says, "We shouldn't even be talking about this because, like, priorities, Max is dead." And then Adam says, "The cops are going to be crawling all over this place. You need to get rid of all the drugs you're selling. And we need to get our alibis straight." And Tommy says to him, "I didn't kill Max. Someone did this on our own turf." And Adam's like, "Yeah, someone had to have taken my keys." And Adam basically says he doesn't have an alibi because he was alone part of the night. And then Tommy says, "Oh, well, I'll cover you. We're in this together." And then Adam says to us, "We're lying again. Like, we're right back to where we started. This is why we lie." Obviously, title of the book. Gardner's Bay Press, Monday, October 15th, article, read page 237 and part 238, which I didn't write down. Don't worry, I have it marked. Okay. Emergency services were called to Gardner Bay Harbor in the early hours of Saturday morning to report a car submerged in the water. The driver is yet to be identified and was missing from the scene. A young male was recovered from the front passenger side of the submerged vehicle. The male was pronounced dead at the scene, and the family has been informed. He has been identified as 18-year-old Max Grayson. Searches continue for the driver, who is presumed to have survived the accident. A local resident has commented, and then it's quoted, "I heard a crashing sound in the early hours, so I looked out my window. Someone ran across the harbor, but it was too dark to make out any details. I thought it was just kids fooling around. The Rookwood boys go down there sometimes." This is Gardner's Bay's second young life lost tragically in a matter of weeks, following the death of 17-year-old Colleen Odell last month. Questions continue to surround a possible connection between the two incidents. Gardner Bay's police department have declined to comment at this time. Jenna, chapter 44. So Jenna was at the beach all night with Adam, and then she snuck back into her house, and then Holly calls her and says that she met with the police on Saturday. She said they didn't arrest her, obviously, she's calling her, and only wanted to talk about transitioning back to school, because she still hasn't gone back because of the bullying and stuff about her fight with Colleen. And her lawyer said that it was all circumstantial evidence, and the detectives are deciding to look elsewhere. And there's new evidence that came to light about the finger marks or something, but no direct connection to Holly. And then Jenna is super happy for her. And then Holly asks about Serena and feels bad for not reaching out, but obviously it's not a good time. And then like their whole situation is kind of complicated. And Holly thinks it has to be one of the Rooks if it's related to Max and Colleen. Then Holly asks if Jenna will meet her outside of school so she doesn't have to walk in by herself, because she's finally going back to school. So they get to school and no one really says anything to her, just like kind of looks over her. I'm sure they're saying stuff behind her back, but like nothing directly. And then she's really surprised because she sees Serena at school, like her boyfriend literally just died. They just like see her in homeroom. And then Jenna and Holly decide to eat lunch outside, so they're not in the cafeteria getting gossip about blah, blah, blah. And Imogen comes over to talk to Jenna alone. She doesn't want Holly to listen, so they like walk off and talk. And then Imogen tells her, like, Serena ditched after homeroom, and she's, like, worried about her because Serena told Imogen something bad about Max and about what happened. And then Jenna's like, about the cheating? Why would you say that, my girl? And Imogen's like, what are you talking about? You have to tell me. Max was cheating on Serena with who? And Jenna's like, I don't know. And then Imogen says, well, what I was talking about was he wasn't driving the car. And obviously Jenna already knows this. And Jenna says, you can't tell Serena about the cheating. It'll destroy her. Max is already dead. Like, why do this to her? And then Jenna admits that Adam was the one that told her about the cheating. And then Imogen's like, you can't trust Adam. Don't believe anything he tells you. He's a pathological liar. Plus, he's dangerous. He killed his mom. So then Jenna does a Google search about Adam and literally nothing comes up. It's just like his Facebook, some real estate agent that has the same name. And then, like, I'm assuming the same real estate agent's LinkedIn, because I can't imagine Adam has a LinkedIn. Jenna and Holly are texting. That's the next part. So Holly wants to meet up during her free period, and Jenna just says she's in the computer lab searching things. Obviously, she's Googling Adam. And Holly just says, like, what are you looking at? She tells her, oh, well, she doesn't tell her. Jenna just says something stupid that Imogen said earlier that was weird, that weirded me out, and it's fine, and they can meet. I don't really think we talk about them meeting up, honestly. I don't think it comes up again. Adam, chapter 45. So Adam's at school and he gets called into the office because the police want to talk to him. And he's waiting in the reception area and he's offered a glass of water by the receptionist. And it's in a disposable cup and he drinks it and throws away. Now, this doesn't come up, but I'm just saying this because I put it at the time I wasn't sure. Police officers often do this to get like DNA off of cups and stuff, because if you like throw it away, it's like free for them to pick up. But that, I don't. Maybe long term they were planning on doing that, but it was like really weird because they were really intense about this glass of water. So then Adam gets called into the principal's office and Detective Drew and Kate are there, Jenna's aunt, and they're going to ask him a couple questions. And Adam's like, should I have a lawyer present? They're like, no, it's just an informal conversation. He still probably should have a lawyer or like a freaking adult there. So the principal says he's underage. He's a minor. This is ridiculous. I'm going to stay in the room. And Adam's like, yeah, thank you. So then Adam confirms that him and Max were best friends, and that also he drove the 1998 Dodge Aries, which Max's body was recovered from, on Saturday. And then Adam goes on to say that anyone could have kept his keys or like found his keys. And he makes the decision to talk about the parties because who cares anymore? Like, let's all get caught. Like, we have two dead people. I'm spoiling about the parties. And he's like, my keys were in this cabin. We all hung out, blah, blah, blah. And police is like, no one mentioned these parties. And he's like, well, duh. Why would they mention these parties where they're doing underage drinking and sneaking out and doing drugs and all this other stuff? Like, why would they mention that? Then they turn to the principal and they're like, how are parties taking place? Because you're supposed to have security and stuff. And this is like a kid for this is a school for troubled students. And Adam's like, it's not her fault. We're really good at sneaking out, which we go over multiple times in the previous episodes. Then Drew asks if the kids were doing drugs or alcohol. And Adam's like, I don't know. Then Drew's like, a boy died Saturday. We need to get to the bottom of this. Tell me. And Adam's like, he's my best friend. I know. Like, I want to help. And the officer's like, then you need to cooperate because this is a murder investigation and we're looking at you as a suspect. And then the principal, like a grown adult, stands up and is like, this is enough. Like, he needs to have a lawyer present. Like, we're not doing this. And then Adam just like kind of yells out. He's like, I didn't kill Max. I know you think I did. I know how it works with my car and all, but I didn't do this. I don't know who did it either. And then Adam says to us that even if he knew who killed Max, there's not a chance that he would tell the police because he doesn't trust them. Text between Adam and Jenna. So Adam tells her that the officers came to school today and it was her aunt and the other guy, and they questioned him about Max and asked if they can meet. Jenna, 46. So Jenna texts Kate and says she's going to be home late because she's working on a school project. Obviously a lie. Then Kate says not to be too late because they need to talk. So that stresses her out. So then Adam's at the beach and they hug and kiss. And then she tells us she knows the rumors aren't true about him killing his mom, but she's still like feeling uneasy. And then Adam tells her that the cops think that he killed Max and that he told them about the parties. And the school's going to call his dad and he thinks his dad will think that he did it. And then Jenna says, maybe your dad will understand. And Adam says, no, he doesn't exactly have a high opinion of me. He skipped out on me and my mom when Adam was a kid, and he doesn't want to see him anymore. Then Jenna asks Adam about his mom, and Adam says, they think I killed my mom. I didn't kill my mom. Then Jenna is like, I never believed it. I never believed that you killed her. And then Adam says, who told you? Was it Colleen? And Jenna's confused. So Adam goes on to explain that after Colleen like lost it on Max that day, the day she disappeared, she threatened to tell people that he killed his mom, and she also threatened Max and Tommy. And then Jenna gets freaked out by this and stops holding his hand, and she's like, sorry, I need to go. So she's struggling with the idea of, like, maybe he did kill his mom. Like, why is everyone saying this? Because she heard it from Imogen, and now she's hearing it like basically that Colleen knew too. So then Jenna's trying not to think about it, but she's like super freaked out and she goes home because she's got to talk to Kate. So Kate's talking to her and she brings up Adam and she's like, I know you've been spending a lot of time with him. Do you know about these parties up at Rookwood? And Jenna's like, yes, there's parties, but I haven't gone recently and I've been to a few in the past. Sorry to disappoint you. And Kate's obviously upset by this. She doesn't want Jenna to get caught up in all this, like this investigation. And she's like, Jenna, you should have told me. And then Jenna asks Kate if Max and Colleen are connected, like their deaths, and asks, who do you think did it? And then Kate says, I don't have an answer for you yet. We think if we find the motive, we'll find the person. That's like typically always true, is it not? So then Jenna concludes that they're still looking at who could have done this, and Holly could have motive because of her argument with Colleen. But Jenna also knows that Serena and Adam would both also have motive. She doesn't bring that up to Kate because she knows she's missing something, kind of wants to like figure out more before she gives her information. Adam, chapter 47. So Adam's looking at himself in the mirror and he says he can't be trusted, like he doesn't trust himself. And Max, Tommy, and Jenna, sooner or later, they'll all lose trust in him as well, just like his dad did. And then Adam tells us that his dad closed the door on him and like shipped him off to the school. And he wonders if his dad thinks that he killed his mom. And Adam's also worried because he thinks Jenna thinks he killed Colleen and Max. And he admits that he would have motive, like he understands why Jenna would come to that conclusion. And then he wants to call Jenna, but he can't bring himself to do so. But he does care about her a ton. Text messages between Imogen and Brianna. But also, I feel like Jenna might also be in this, but she doesn't type anything. So Brianna's starting to get on the wrong side of history here. I love Brianna. We know this, but I was a little worried. So Imogen's worried about Serena and hasn't heard from her. And Brianna's like, she's being the B word. And then Imogen's like, she just lost her boyfriend. Like, can we be a little sensitive? And then Brianna's like, she just replied to my DM. Like, I kind of regret saying that. And then she goes, oh no, she said she doesn't want to talk to me. See, she's being a B word. Okay, I still love, I can't even think of her name, Brianna. Jenna, chapter 48. So Jenna told us that Serena removed herself from like the girly group chat or whatever. So I'm assuming it's just the three of them now. Jenna's on her way to check on Serena at her house, and Serena's fine with that as long as Jenna comes alone. And then Serena says that she ditched school because she couldn't take all the fakes, like, are you okay? When clearly she's not, and like no one really cares. Like, whatever. They just want attention and be part of it. She said she doesn't like Imogen and Brianna talking to her, worrying about her, because she feels like it's fake. They're fake friends, which Colleen mentions like earlier. Then she goes on to say that she's so mad at Max and he can't fix it now and they can't heal because he passed away. Which is like super complicated when you're mad at someone that died. Like, trust me. So then Serena tells Jenna, she's like, you know Max cheated on me, right? And Jenna's like, oh my god, what? You knew about Colleen? That's crazy. And then Serena's like, well, I didn't want to tell anyone because I was so embarrassed and I was worried they think I was like too boring for a rook and I wasn't good enough. And it was easier just to pretend like it wasn't real and that he wouldn't do that to her. So Jenna asks Serena how she found out about the cheating, and Serena says, Colleen told me. And then Serena apologizes and she's like, I know we're supposed to be nice about Colleen because she's dead, but I hate her. I don't really blame her, honestly. So then Jenna's like, oh, wow, Colleen told you the night she died, like she followed through. And then Serena's like, no, she told me like back in the summertime. And Jenna's confused and she's like, Colleen told you about her fling with Max back in the summer? I thought it only just happened. But Serena did not know about this recent cheating scandal. So she's like screaming and sobbing at this point. Like, what do you mean? Jenna says, well, I don't know. Like, right before she was murdered, I think. I'm sorry. I thought you knew. And Serena obviously did not know this information. And she says that last summer, Colleen told her that she caught Max cheating on Serena. But she was a total B-word about it and refused to tell her anything, like, who it was with. And now Serena's just assuming that it was Colleen the whole time cheating with Max. And then I said, I don't believe that. I think it's either Imogen or Holly, but I don't know. And then we'll find out who it was. But then Serena says she thought at first maybe it was Holly that was cheating with Max, and that's why she started distancing herself from Jenna and Holly. And she felt that way because Colleen and Holly were always talking about the boys from Rookwood or whatever. Then Jenna defends Holly and's like, she would never do that. And Serena's like, well, I thought Max would never cheat on me either, but here we are, and he did it twice. So then we get a backflash. It's summer or like right before school or whatever. And Serena and Max are having their big fight in the parking lot that everyone witnessed. So Colleen, Brianna, Imogen, Holly, and Jenna are all standing there like kind of far back watching. And Colleen's kind of smirking about the whole situation. She's a sassy girl, man. Was. And then Brianna says, I think it's just some drama over Max talking to other girls. Typical Serena overreacting. Like, Brianna really does not like Serena. So the fight ends with Serena walking off and Max is just like alone in the parking lot. And Colleen says she's going to go talk to Max. Imogen says she's going to go talk to Serena. And then Brianna's just kind of left standing there trying to choose who to follow. And she ends up following Colleen to go talk to Max. And then Holly and Jenna decide to give everyone some space and they go back inside. Jenna sees Max leave in what we know now is Adam's car. Adam!
Ahoy crew! We're obviously all book lovers here, and I know a lot of us dream about writing stories of our own too. Well, writers, this one's for you. You know how important a consistent writing practice is, but many writers find it hard to carve out time, and there isn't always inspiration. Luckily, there's Prolific. That's Prolific, spelled P-R-O-L-I-F-F-I-C. Prolific makes it easy for you to take a few minutes out of each day to get creative. There's always a fresh prompt waiting to spark your creativity, and you will get to see how others respond to the same prompt. A built-in calendar makes it easy to track your progress and revisit past pieces. It's your personal habit tracker, archive, creative space, and community all in one. It's a simple, sustainable way to write often, write more, and get better over time. Start your writing routine at prolific.com, P-R-O-L-I-F-F-I-C.com. Now let's dive back into the story.
Chapter 49. Adam's dad calls him, and Adam tells us about how they've only talked on Christmas and his birthday, and it was short and like really shallow, just like, hey, how are you? How's the weather? Okay, I don't care. Bye. And Adam's dad's like super mad during this conversation, and he's like, what happened? And Adam says, kid died after someone drove my car into the harbor. And then his dad's getting frustrated with Adam and he's like, who was driving? And Adam's like, I don't know. And he says, Adam tells him, I wasn't driving, but the police don't believe that. And his dad's like, you're going to need a lawyer. And Adam's like, I've got it covered. And then ends the call because he doesn't want anything to do with his dad. And then he says to us, he's clenching his teeth so hard that he swears he could taste blood. Yum. Jenna, chapter 50. So Kate comes into Jenna's room and tells her, you know, you can tell me anything. I'm sorry about our fight, about spending time at Rookwood. And Jenna says, we're fine. I should have never gone. We're all good. And they talk about how Kate's like not her mom, but they both love each other. And like the aunt slash mom type of person she is and like helping raise Jenna. And Jenna feels like she needs to talk to someone she trusts. So she opens up to Kate and she asks Kate if Adam is a suspect. And Kate says, why do you ask? Like, how well do you really know him? And Jenna's like, well, I know him reasonably well. She doesn't talk about the beach thing, but obviously. And Kate's just trying to process all this because she's an officer. The girl she's caring for, also her niece, is involved with like the main suspect. And Jenna says, do you think Max killed Colleen? And Kate says, you know, I can't answer these questions. And Jenna says, well, Serena was so blinded by Max. Is it me? Like, am I blinded? Like, basically saying, do you think Adam killed Max? Am I blinded by my feelings? And Kate goes, you're not Serena. And I think you're a smart girl. And I think you already know the answer. Thank goodness. Their little fight only lasts like 3 chapters. Adam, chapter 51. So Adam is sitting on the beach, aka him and Jenna's spot. And Jenna walks up and sits behind him. And they both apologize for not reaching out to each other sooner. I think like 3 days have passed. And then Adam says to us that this is the most oddest thing he's ever said to her or anyone. And he tells her that he misses her. And then she says she misses him too. Adam goes on to say, I know it doesn't look good, but I'm glad you're here. And Jenna says that she should have trusted him and she does trust him now. And they start holding hands again. Then Adam opens up about his mom and says it wasn't his fault and he didn't know how to help her. Then he tells us a little bit about that night. So he was 12 years old, which is like the age of my stepdaughter. And he says he didn't know how to save her, which is repeating kind of like what he was saying in the beginning. When he found Colleen, he kept saying, I should have been there sooner. I didn't know how to save her. So his mom OD'd at their house on the porch and she was like convulsing and stuff. And he was so freaked out. He didn't know what to do. He was freaking 12 years old. And he says that she was a drug addict and he couldn't move. He couldn't think. He didn't know what to do, and he didn't even know if he wanted to save her, because living with a drug addict would be awful, I would assume. And he tells Jenna that he found her, like, laying there, and he stood over her, and it probably took him 10 minutes to call 911, and he feels really guilty about that. And Jenna's super understanding about it, as we all should be. And he tells Jenna that his dad
came back after the mom died, but Adam lost it and was like spiraling and being self-destructive, and his dad couldn't deal with him anymore. So I don't know if his dad called social services, just said they called social services, and then that's when he got enrolled in Rookwood. And the only people that know the truth about why he's there are Tommy and Max. And he adds that Max understood because there were people in his family that were addicts and he got away from that. And then like Tommy obviously understands for the same reason. I don't think he mentions that to Jenna, but like we know he's selling drugs for his dad. But then Adam does tell us that Max did tell him that he like Max is talking to Adam. Oh my gosh, this is hard to explain. Adam tells Jenna that Max told him that he got drunk one night and told one of the Preston girls about Adam's mom. So Adam assumes that must have been Colleen, but they were like him and Max were fine after that. It didn't matter. But then Colleen threatens to tell the truth about Adam at some point. So then Jenna says, you didn't kill your mom. You must have told Max that. And Adam's like, well, maybe Max just got the story wrong because he was drunk, or maybe people just assume I did it because the cops had to intervene, like social services. Also, I thought Max didn't lose control when he drank, but he can't keep a secret. Oh, shouldn't have said that. A dang secret. Gonna have to freaking edit that. Then Adam's telling Jenna, like, they didn't see the way I had to watch her fade away after my dad left, like, obviously getting more into drugs. And you don't know the guilt that eats away at me, just, and they just see me as a guy who watched her die. And Jenna says, that's not who you are. But he says, that's part of who I am. This is part of my story. This is what made me who I am. And Jenna says, you're a caring and loyal person, and your mom would have been proud, and your dad should be too. And Adam thanks her for coming back, and she says, thank you for being here when I did, which I thought was super cute. And their relationship, unlike most stories, is not annoying, which I like. Deep breaths. Okay. Text between Imogen and Brianna. Imogen asks if anyone's heard from Serena because she thinks maybe Serena blocked her. And Brianna's like, just drop it. Serena doesn't want to talk to you, and that's her problem. And then asks Imogen if she wants to go out for the night. And then Imogen asks Jenna, what do you think about Serena's situation? Like, update me. And Jenna just says she's in a tough place. Like, she just wants to be left alone. And then Imogen asks if Serena's talked to Jenna. And then Brianna says, Imogen, seriously, we don't even like Serena. And I have mixed feelings about that statement. Because what do you mean you two didn't even really like her? Then why are you friends with her? Like, what is the point? Because I feel like they could have probably gotten invited to the parties on their own. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me, Brianna. I liked you. I liked your sass. And here you are disappointing me. Not mad. I'm just disappointed. Chapter 52, Jenna. So Jenna opens up Colleen's Instagram. Ooh, babe. I don't know why I called you guys babes, but like, we're getting to it. We're getting into it. Oh my gosh. Buckle up. Sit down. Several seats. Let's go. So Jenna opens up Colleen's Instagram and she describes how the comments are getting fewer and fewer. Colleen's slowly fading away into like old news. And she's noticing more and more details in the earlier photos that she didn't previously. And she uses Max as an example. So there's one picture of Max and Colleen, and her arm is around his neck, and she's gazing at him, but he's looking away from her. He's looking at someone else. Then Jenna goes over and looks at Max's profile, and it's mostly of him with like his friends, Adam, and then there's like a couple with Serena. It's pretty generic. It's a boy. Boy on social media, like, let's be real. But there's something that all these photos have in common. There's someone in the background, a blonde-haired girl, and her eyes are lingering on him. So we've mentioned this mystery blonde throughout. She says in most of these pictures, Max and this blonde girl are watching each other, like you can tell. And in this moment, Jenna realizes she was wrong, and the finger marks that the police found on Colleen's necks were made by a female. So Jenna scrolls through her contacts and hits call. We're getting there. Oh my. Adam, chapter 53. So Adam's phone lights up. Jenna's calling him. Duh. Jenna says to Adam, she's like, Max was seeing Colleen behind Serena's back, right? And Adam's like, yes. And Jenna says, are you sure? Did he ever specifically say Colleen's name? And how do you know for sure it was Colleen? And Adam says, well, Colleen threatened us that night. I told you already. And Jenna asks, what exactly did Colleen say? So Colleen said that night, quote, I'm going to tell Serena exactly what you've been doing behind her back. And her and Adam go back and forth for a while, but Colleen's name was never actually mentioned as the person that Max was cheating on Serena with. Hold on tight. Then Jenna says maybe Colleen knew that Max was cheating, and in some strange way, Colleen and Serena were actually real friends, and Colleen was trying to help Serena. Then Adam tells her that he doesn't know if Max would have told him the truth about this anyway, but he was covering up something, like he was acting real sketchy after Colleen died. And all three of the boys were trying to cover their own secrets. So Adam, Tommy, and Max. Jenna asks Adam if he thinks that Max killed Colleen, and Adam says no, but I think he knew who did. I agree. So then Jenna tells him that Max cheated on Serena last summer and asks if he knew who it was with. And Adam's like, I didn't even know that he cheated last summer. And Jenna tells him that Serena said it was one of her friends. Could it be the same girl this time around? Like, maybe he just kept cheating with the same person. So Jenna basically presents this, like, what if Max was seeing this girl since the summer and Colleen found out? And if Colleen's threatened to expose them, then Max was going to come clean to Serena that last week. And that's like the second time this blonde person could have been caught. So maybe this person committed both murders. And Adam's like, do you really think someone would kill two people just to not be called a homewrecker? Because that seems extreme. And Jenna says, no, I think there's more to it than that. Which there is, but there isn't. No spoilers, but whatever. And then Jenna goes, I have a pretty good idea of who it could be, like who he was cheating with. But obviously she only saw pictures of him looking at someone and them looking at her, so she can't like for sure say. And then Adam says, the who, like, is it that girl that everyone blamed, your friend Holly? And then we get a backflash from Jenna. And that's like her whole chapter 54. So in this backflash, it's the fight of Holly and Colleen in the cafeteria when she threatens to kill her. So Colleen's acting real calm, nonchalant throughout this whole section, and good for her. Way to handle it. Like, something I've learned in the past 34 years is, like, you don't have to get loud. Sit in silence, let them sit there. A fun little thing to say when someone says something to you, be like, wow, that's a really weird thing to say out loud. And then just sit there and let them sit with the weird comments they say to you. But anyway, Holly is yelling at Colleen. It's like, you knew how much I liked him. You still went after him. And Colleen's like, who are you talking about? You need to calm down. Like, playing all dumb or whatever. She's poking the bear. And Holly calls Colleen a snake. Colleen says, whatever you think I did, you're wrong. I don't do sloppy seconds. That's like the second time she said that. And Holly says, then why is there a picture of you draped all over him? And Colleen says, excuse you, stalker. I'm not a skank. I didn't kiss your boy or your wannabe boy or whatever. Zing. And then this is when Holly like says it. She says, if I find out, I swear I'll kill you. And Colleen's like, whatever. And she's like, flips her hair and walks away. Interview with Holly conducted by Detective Kate Dallas at 9:05 a.m. on Monday, October 1st. So Kate is asking Holly how she knew Colleen, and Holly just keeps saying, she's my friend. I've known her since middle school, but they weren't close. Like, they're just friends. Then Kate asks about the fight in the cafeteria, and she says it wasn't really a fight. It was more like an argument. It was nothing. Her and Colleen both liked the same guy, but it was not serious, and they were fine 5 minutes later. Like, they were all good. And Kate's like, who was the boy you were fighting over? And she reveals his name. It was Scotch. It was Tyler Scotch, the kid that flipped out, the guy I mentioned that I wasn't going to mention. So she liked him, and she thought Colleen was going after him because some picture. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. Adam, chapter 55. So Adam's dad's there at the school, and his dad's like, I found you a lawyer. We can fix this. And Adam's like, it's not your problem. I got this. Like, I've been taking care of myself for a while. And his dad's like, this is serious. And Adam's like, it's not a big deal. And his dad's like, it is a big deal. They might arrest you like today. And Adam's like, do you think I did it? And his dad's like, of course not. And Adam's like, no, I'm talking about mom. Do you think I killed mom? And his dad's like, no, you did not kill your mother. She was an addict. She had a sickness and she couldn't handle it. And none of this was your fault. And then Adam's like, well, you sent me here, bro. Like, if it was my fault, why am I shipped off in the problem? And then his dad, I'm so sorry, had the audacity to say, I didn't know how to be a dad, and I still don't even now. Does he not have a stepchild? Like, or I don't know if it's step or his own child or whatever, but Adam talks about him caring for this other kid. Okay, so you couldn't handle your first kid, so now you just have another kid, and you just said, I don't know how to be a dad? Like, why are you trash? Ugh. So anyway, his dad's like, I regret all of this, like taking you to this school and blah, blah, blah. And they both apologize to each other and they like shake hands and turn over a new leaf. I'm not turning over a new leaf. I'm mad at Adam's dad, even though he's not anymore. Jenna, chapter 56. Whoa, it's not Jenna's fault. I don't know why I got mad about it. Okay, Jenna texts Serena and she's like, I need to talk to you. And she feels like Serena will know who Max was cheating with last summer or could at least help her figure out. Like, they could put the pieces together about it. But Serena's not answering. So Jenna sends another message and says, I really need to talk to you. I know it's hard for you, but I think I know who Max was cheating on you with, and it wasn't Colleen. Please call me. And Serena responds with a text, and she's like, can we meet? And Jenna's like, sure, at your house. And Serena's like, no, meet me at the cabin. And Jenna's like, why are you at Rookwood? Can I meet you back at your house? And Serena says, I'm already at the cabin. Meet me there. There's no one else around. And then Jenna asks, like, why are you there? And Serena doesn't reply. But then Jenna's trying to make up excuses in her head, like maybe she wants to feel closer to Max and blah, blah, blah. But like, we all know this is a trap, right? Like, it's a trap. Hi, we're not stupid. Like, spoiler alert, it's a trap. So when Jenna gets to the cabin, she clearly feels like something's off. So she calls Kate and leaves her a voicemail that says, I'm letting you know that I'm meeting Serena at the Rookwood cabin. Sorry, don't hate me. I'll explain later. Which, smart, but also stupid, like whatever. So then she goes into the cabin and there's a muffled cry from across the room. Serena is tied up in a chair with a strip of duct tape covering her mouth. Pull over, everybody. Several seats, we're learning it all. Reveal is coming. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Womp womp. We gotta do Adam's chapter first. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm just excited about it. So Adam's in his dorm room and he explains to Tommy that the cops want to talk to him and his dad's there. And they want to bust him for Max's murder. And Tommy's like, well, what about your alibi? We said we were going to say. And Adam's like, I didn't tell them that. I'm not lying anymore. You're not my alibi. And we're doing this straight this time. And Tommy wants to come with him to help. But he's like, Tommy, don't get involved. And then Adam tells Tommy that Jenna has a theory about Max and Colleen and everything. Adam tells Tommy that Max cheated on Serena last summer. And Tommy's like, I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me. And Adam also thinks back to the night that Max died and says, yeah, he was drinking, but he wasn't drunk and he wasn't high. He was in control. There's that in control again. And then he asks Tommy if he sold Max anything that night. And Tommy's like, no, you know, Max didn't do drugs. He wouldn't touch the stuff, probably because his parents were addicts. And then he asks Tommy if he sold any of the drugs to any of the Preston girls or like any girls that night. And Tommy's like, why? And Adam explains that Max had to be messed up on something because if he wasn't, he would have gotten out of the sinking car, obviously. And Tommy admits that one of the girls bought something off of him, but he swears it was the last of his stash and he was trying to get rid of it. And he sold this girl roofies. So Adam's mad at Tommy, reasonably so. And it's like, you were selling date rape drugs. Like, what is wrong with you? And Tommy said his dad needed me to sell them. And he was only giving the roofies to guys with insomnia to help them sleep. And it was the last of it and he was going to stop. Okay, sorry, Tommy. You can't possibly believe these guys were just trying to sleep. I'm not going to get more into it, but like, read between the lines. And Tommy obviously at the time when he sold it didn't think anyone would give the drugs to Max. Like, why would he assume that? So Tommy says he sold it to a girl, and Tommy says she's a friend of Serena's because I've seen them together. And Adam thinks back to when Max was sharing a cigarette with the blonde haired girl after Serena had gone home, which we talked about extensively last episode. And then Tommy says to us, like, for Jenna's sake, I hope Tommy doesn't say that he sold them to Holly. And Tommy doesn't say Holly's name, but we don't hear who it is. We're going to find out here in a second. And Adam tries to call Jenna, but she doesn't pick up. Jenna, chapter 58. This was the one I was waiting for. So sorry, I pumped us up like three separate times. So someone grabs Jenna's hair from behind and her phone hits the floor and skids across the planks of like the floor. She sees Adam's name light up on the screen as it rings, but obviously she couldn't answer it. So they mentioned this a few times throughout the chapter, but I'm not going to insert it where it was. But like throughout this whole section, Serena is like hysterical throughout and stomping her feet and crying. There's like muffled screams. Also, pause before we really get into this. I never understood when you have your mouth duct tape, because I don't know if you guys have ever like messed around as kids or whatever and duct tape your mouth, but as soon as your spit or slobber gets on it, it just like falls off. Like you would not have duct tape on your mouth this entire time unless it's like wrapped completely around your head. But if you just have like one piece, you're fine. So anyway, Jenna's on the ground because the person that grabbed her hair like threw her down and is pressing down on her, restraining her. Okay, it's Imogen. We'll unravel all that here in a second. So Jenna's like, says her name, and it's enough to distract her, and Jenna is able to like struggle free and grab her phone, but it's only a moment before she gets smacked in the skull. Well, I don't know with what though, I don't think they really say it. And her cell phone slips from her hands and hits the floor again, and it's like out of reach. Then Imogen is holding a glass vase that she lifts up like above her head, and Jenna says like, one more hit and I'm done for, and she's like begging for her life. Okay, a vase would not scare me. It's not like she has a gun. I could just like dead leg her and then beat the crap out of her. Like, what are we talking about? I'm not afraid of a vase and some twiggy little cheerleader. Like, sorry, not sorry, but I'm beating her butt, bro. Not the point. So Imogen is yelling at Jenna and says, who else knows about Max and me? And Jenna obviously lies and says no one because she's not going to put Adam in danger. And then Imogen says that you don't understand Colleen was going to tell Serena. Jenna says, Colleen caught you last summer, didn't she? Like, you having a relationship with Max. And Imogen just keeps saying, like, you don't understand. And Jenna says, I imagine how hard it might have been to see Serena and Max together when you're having a fling with Max and it didn't end after last summer, did it? Wrong move, because then Imogen freaks out and she's like, it wasn't a fling. He was mine. He was always supposed to be mine. Then Jenna says, you knew him before, and she puts together the pieces. So Jenna goes on to say, like, Imogen, you told me that you knew Max from your neighborhood. You two went to, I'm assuming, middle school together before Preston and Rookwood. Imogen says, even after Max was sent to Rookwood, she still thought about him sometimes and didn't realize how she felt until it was too late. And Jenna's like, too late, as in he was in love with Serena? And Imogen's like, he did not love her. I know he didn't. Max and I were from the same world. Serena could never compete with that. It was real with us and it was intense. And Serena's like flipping out, like screaming in the background. So Jenna's like, then why didn't Max just break up with Serena if he wasn't in love with her last summer? You wouldn't have had to hide your relationship. Like, yeah, you would have had a falling out with some of your friends, but you could have just like openly been with Max. And Imogen's like, it's not that simple. Serena was his free ride out of this town. He needed her. And Colleen almost ruined everything, which gross, like literally to be like, he was using you, Serena, and he was in love with me and it sucks to be you. Like, that's crazy to say in front of her, because Serena like actually loved him, like for real, even though she was being stupid. Like, so then Jenna says, oh, that's why you killed Colleen, to like keep her quiet. And Imogen's like, no, it wasn't like that. So then Jenna's like, Colleen caught you and Max again in the forest, right? So like that night she died, she's like, I'm gonna tell on you. So Imogen's like, yeah, that Colleen caught us, and Imogen tried to run away, like to hide who she was. And Max called her. That's a phone call he made when he walked out of the cabin that Adam tells us about. He called Imogen and told her that Colleen had seen them together and was going to talk this time. She kept it a secret this summer. Remember, she told Serena he's cheating on you, but wouldn't give up the name, just said it's one of your friends. So Imogen went after Colleen to try to like quote unquote reason with her, and she had to work hard to keep this quiet for Max's sake so he could have a future. And she's like, it was his future and our future. So like, I don't know what their master plan was, like to like get an apartment, for him to get an apartment with Serena, and then he dumps her and then he moves in with Imogen, but like, who's paying for this? Like, very confusing. But anyway, Imogen says that Colleen was my friend, not Serena's. I found her on the clip path. I tried talking to her, but she was just so stubborn. She was going to tell Serena everything. There was nothing I could do to stop her. And Jenna's like, well, you did do something to stop her, obviously. You stopped her from freaking breathing. And then Imogen's like, no, it was an accident. Colleen and me got in a fight. She says Colleen pushed her first, and then Imogen pushed back, and it just escalated. But we know that Imogen must have strangled her, like dug her hands into her neck and then pushed her over the edge. And also, it's probably safe to assume that Colleen was drinking, so that would have been a little easier for her. But yet again, sober Jenna can't just kick her knees out right now. But anyway, so Jenna's like, well, what about Max? Because like, if you guys liked each other, why would you go after him? And Imogen says she never meant to hurt him and that they were soulmates. And Serena flips. It's like muffled, whatever. So I don't mean to laugh at Serena, but like, can you imagine just being her, like fly on the wall while someone's like saying all this stuff about your boyfriend who just died like 3 days ago? So anyway, Jenna is like, well, what happened with Max? Okay, if you're saying like you didn't mean to hurt him. And Imogen explains that Max was going to end things with her, like with Imogen. And Max told her that one of Serena's friends had found out about them and was going to be honest with Serena, and he felt guilty about everything and he was going to choose being with Serena. So obviously this friend, it's Jenna. Jenna's the one that found out and was going to tell Serena, which Max found out through Adam. So Imogen found all this out through Max and blames Jenna and says if it wasn't for Jenna, Max would still be here, which is completely ridiculous. And then Jenna says, I never had your name. Like, I did not know it was you. I just knew he was cheating with someone. And then Imogen says, well, Serena was on to me. I know she was. She was freezing me out. She blocked me. That's why I asked her to meet here last night. I wouldn't have gotten you involved, Jenna, but I read the text messages you were sending Serena this morning, because Jenna was saying, like, I think I figured this out. I need your help. He was cheating on you, blah, blah, blah. Also, like, realistically, I think Serena was freezing her out because she just didn't want to talk to anyone. And she didn't feel like they're real friends. I don't think she was freezing her out because she suspected she was cheating. But regardless. So then, like, also in this part, like, something to note, Jenna's explaining that her head is throbbing and there's, like, blood dripping down the back of her neck. And she's, like, starting to get kind of foggy, like she's going to pass out. Still feel like she could kick her knees out, but that's just me. So Imogen says that what happened with Max wasn't her fault. Max wanted to talk, just the two of them, in Adam's car. Not sure why she was in the driver's seat, but okay. And she gave Max something to relax him in his drink because he was stressed out. Jenna doesn't know that it's Rufy, but we do. Imogen wanted to buy time because Max was pulling away ever since Colleen died. And Imogen says that Max didn't know for sure what happened to Colleen, but he definitely suspected that Imogen had something to do with it and that she ruined everything. That's like how she perceived him feeling about it. She claims that she didn't mean to give him so much of this drug, just enough to calm him down. But then he started getting really out of it and he passed out in Adam's car. She could have just like stopped right there. And then she could have just been like, you were drunk. You don't know for sure. He's also one to keep secrets, so he's probably not going to say anything. And he's still in a relationship with Serena at this point. So he's probably not going to be like, I was cheating on you and I think she killed Colleen. Because they're all better off with Colleen because no one liked her. Just my personal opinion, but whatever. Whatever. So then Jenna says, you drove Adam's car into the harbor, girl. And Imogen's like, Max was going to tell Serena about Colleen catching us together, and that would have made me a suspect, and I would have gone down for it and gotten life sentence, and it was just an accident. I still don't think that's enough evidence for her to go down for a life sentence. I just think she's a little unhinged, really, truly. Jenna says, again, you drove the car into the harbor, you swam free, and you left Max to drown. Like, how is that an accident? And Imogen's just saying it was an accident, I have to end this, and Jenna's trying to reason with her, and it's like, you can't kill four people and suspect to get away with it. Like, hello? Imogen says, well, I've already gotten away with two murders, and everyone thinks Adam did it, so, like, we good. And then she says, your guy Adam, the one who killed his mom, Max told me all about it one night when he was drunk. Adam must have been a little unhinged, and it was his car. It's obvious that he drove Max into the harbor. No one will ever question it, like no one questioned when I leaked Holly's text messages, and no one would question Adam driving his own car. Super fair point, like for sure. So then she goes on to say, that's why I had to get you and Serena out here together. I'm going to say Adam was hooking up with Serena, and everyone knows he was having a thing with you, being Jenna. I'll say I heard you and Serena talking about a three-way with him here last night. His DNA is already everywhere, and oops, he killed you both. How is that a good lie? Because anyone would know that Serena was like super duper in love with Max. I don't think anyone would believe that Adam was hooking up. Also, Tommy would defend that. Freaking Scotch would probably defend that. Also, how does like a three-way turn into murder? I'm confused. Like, that's a really bad story to tell the police. Like, you would have been better off being like, honestly, better lie right here on the spot. A better lie would be Jenna and Serena must have found out that Adam killed Max and Colleen, and they went there to confront him because they thought with the two of them they could overpower him, but they couldn't, and he killed them. Like, perfect lie. He goes down for all of it, but I don't care. Who cares? Okay. So then Imogen's like, sorry, it's too late. And she's ready to like smash the vase on Jenna's head. And then before she can do that, Jenna hears voices outside. So when Imogen hears the voices, she turns and runs. I don't know if there's a back door or what. And then Jenna like looks over to her phone that's laying like just out of arm's reach. And she's like, oh, good. It worked. She had answered Adam's second phone call. Like when she picked up her phone the second time before she was thrown back on the ground. The call was running like the whole time, like Adam could hear the conversation. Also, it doesn't specify, but I would assume it's like the police that showed up, and she also left that voicemail for Kate, so I'm sure it was the police. She gets arrested, like hello. Adam, chapter 59. So Adam says he doesn't know if he believes in luck or if it was just a coincidence, but it was like really good timing. So him and Tommy were outside the principal's office about to be questioned about a double homicide, and this is when he called Jenna one more time and she answers and he's hearing this whole situation. And he basically walks into the principal's office and puts it on like loudspeaker for the police or whoever's there to hear this whole situation, this whole thing we just covered last chapter. So it's like present time now. And Jenna and him are back on Rookwood Beach and they kiss. And then they see Tommy and his boyfriend, Chris, which was the guy in the woods, walking up to them, and obviously like Adam and Jenna both accept this wholeheartedly, as does the Jolly Reader. Very cute. We're told Tommy gets off with just community service about selling the drugs, but he has a lot of guilt about selling them, obviously, because it's what ultimately killed Max. I mean, obviously Imogen killed him, but he contributed, or he feels that guilt around it. And then Adam's goal is to try to get a scholarship so he can go to law school and preferably somewhere with great photography program nearby. So him and Jenna can be together. And then he says that Jenna, Tommy, Serena, and Holly, and himself are all the lucky ones. And they have to live their lives to the fullest. And he's going to make it count. And that's how the book ends. And I'm going to be like,
totally honest, this book was awesome. I like, this was one of my favorites to cover. It was my one of my favorites to read. Like 100% suggest you go buy this book yourself and you go read it because it's totally worth it. And I will leave a link for it. Usually I put a link to where you can buy it on Amazon. So I'll leave that link in the description. Layering questions. So originally after I took my notes, I put, I'm not really sure if I have anything to say because it was written really well. A lot of the ends were wrapped up and I super enjoyed it. So I guess like one of my lingering questions is like, why is Adam's dad so freaking incompetent as a dad? Like, I truly don't understand this. So like, you and the mom split, and it doesn't say this explicitly, but I would assume his dad left his mom because he suspected probably drug use. Then you leave your child with the drug addict. Then your child goes through like the most freaking traumatic thing, watches his mom die of a drug overdose, and when he starts acting out like a normal person does when there's trauma, you ship him off to the school for bad kids. Like, what are we talking about? And then you get a new family with a new kid and you're fine, but then you're like, I don't know how to be a dad. Like, ew. Anyway, have to get that one out. And then another like kind of not like lingering question, I guess, but like, I really wish I knew where Brianna stood in all of this once it all came out, because she's clearly like, throughout the backflashes and stuff, she's more friends with Colleen than she is with Serena, because she like follows Colleen, who's following Max after the fight, and she's like close with Imogen, and she like calls Serena names and is like, she's not even our friend, we don't even like her. So I really wonder what she feels like after finding out like her ally being Imogen did all this. And like, Serena's a true victim in all this. Also, I just want to say, I don't feel like she knew about the cheating. Well, like, she knew there's cheating, but I don't think she knew it was Imogen. But I don't really know, because maybe Imogen was like, we're soulmates, don't tell. And she wouldn't tell because she doesn't care about Serena. I don't know. That would just been like an interesting little chapter to get some more information on that. And then like my last lingering question is like, what was the real reason Max was at Rookwood? Because we get multiple times throughout that it was because he stole a car, but everyone says it was just a story. It was just a lie he told to like fit his persona, but we don't find out why he was really there. So I think that would be like interesting too. But anyway, I'm going to talk about the next book we're covering, and I'm going to read the back cover in typical dramatic fashion. It is, let me grab it. It is called Seven Dirty Secrets, and it's by Natalie D. Richards. So I'm going to read the back. I know seven secrets. One caused the fall. One did nothing. One saw it all. One didn't care. One used their head. One played the hero. One was left for dead. On her 18th birthday, Cleo receives a mysterious invitation to a scavenger hunt. She's sure her best friend Hope and her brother Connor is behind it, but no one confesses. And as Cleo and Hope embark on the hunt, they seemingly random locations and clues begin to feel familiar. In fact, every clue seems to be about Cleo's dead boyfriend, Declan, who drowned on a group rafting trip exactly 1 year ago. A bracelet she bought him, a song he loved, a photo of the rafting group taken just before Declan drowned, and then the phone calls start. Declan's voice taunting Cleo with a cryptic question, "You ready?" As the clock on the scavenger hunt ticks down, it becomes clear that someone knows what really happened to Declan, and that person will stop at nothing to make sure Cleo and her friends pay. Can you solve the hunt before someone else winds up dead? I don't know. I'm pretty good at guessing, so we'll see. Okay, so thanks for coming with me on this big old journey, and thanks for listening. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube at the Jolly Reader Podcast. Obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can find me wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe so you can get notifications so you get notified when new episodes are posted. If you're on Apple, please leave a review. I see the reviews on Spotify too. A lot of comments. Really appreciate it. It helps crewmates find the podcast. Share with everyone you like or someone that likes these kind of books or anything like that. There's a donate in the show notes. That just helps me buy new books. And if you like secondhand embarrassment, please stay tuned for the outtakes. And I will talk to you next time for Seven Dirty Secrets by Natalie D. Richards. Until we sail again, this has been The Jolly Reader. Bon voyage! Chillin'. Woo! I had like 80 pages of notes for this. Like, no joke. Let's 83 pages of notes for this entire book. Okay. Hey! We made it to the outtakes. Let's do it! Again. Just singing. Whoa. No, this would ain't... I don't know the words. Okay, I just gotta make sure this isn't too loud, because last time I felt like I was a little bit too loud, a little guy too loud. Let's try this. Record.
perhaps. Woo. What is going on over here? Okay. Rongo. And my cat wants to start us off with that. Go. Hold on. Get out of here.
Can you go lay down?
Okay.
Oh,
a little meow meow. Gosh, this episode is going to take forever to edit and I'm 3 minutes in. We know that Jenna knows something's wrong, so she's worried that it's Tommy. Well, he's worried. Well, restart. Okay. And like I texted you because start over because it's easier to edit that way. And the principal rested. Blah, blah, blah.
Stop.
Literally, Sunny, my pit bull, is licking my cat's head. Look at them. Oh, stop it. Kicked out. So, I still feel like this is recording a little loud. Hold on. Animals are feisty today. Also, I'm going to add this in the outtake since we're already here. There is a squirrel living in my ceiling. It's literally like directly above me, so I can just hear it scratching around and stuff. So annoying. And this isn't my house. I'm renting it, basically, so there's nothing I can do about it. That's a long story, too. I'm renting it for my ex-husband because that was like part of our divorce or whatever. He needs to get the squirrel out of the ceiling. So anyway, interview. Let's go. Emergency services were called. I already suck. He needs to have a lawyer president. He needs to have a lawyer president. Why do I keep saying that? But she doesn't bring that up to Kate because she knows. I keep hiccuping. So then Jenna asks, she asked Serena, like, did you find out? Like, how did you find out? Did Colleen tell you? Oh, hold on. That's not it. And I got to fix my shorts. So then, okay. So then,
wow.
There's a train. Wow, I wonder if that's going to pick up. I don't really care. So, oh, Imogen says, no. That's the phone call he made when he walked out of the, oh my gosh, my words. Subscribe so you get notifications so you can see, or so you.
I am Allie, and you are listening to my mom.